Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I never thought that I would begin a Thanksgiving Day sermon by talking about Florida, but that is exactly what I am going to do. There is a beautiful ceramic tile embedded near the front door of a large home in Miami, Florida. And the ceramic tile says, "If you are lucky enough to live by the sea, you are lucky enough. If you are lucky enough to live by the sea, you are lucky enough." For the past 2 weeks, the street where this home exists has been flooded, but the ceramic tile has endured. And I imagine that these days it stands as a kind of reminder to the neighborhood that they need to ground themselves in the broader blessings of their lives while they struggle through the physical disasters of that flood and the monetary damage that the water has caused to their lives and their livelihoods. If you are lucky enough to live by the sea, you are lucky enough. And this Thanksgiving Day is a day to remember that we are lucky or blessed enough. We might want to be lucky or blessed in all possible ways all the time, but that is not how life works. Wanting to be blessed in all possible ways is a child's wish, and that's part of what makes children's birthday parties so charming. For an afternoon, parents can try to fulfill that hope that things will be perfect in all possible ways the whole time because they love their children. But for most adults, blessings are woven into the struggles. There's almost always a need to see joy and sorrow at the same time, or to recognize joy in one dimension of our lives and frustration in another. The blessings are embedded in the ordinary day, coexisting in the same family, in the same friends, at the same time as the limits and the shortcomings. And as soon as we start loving other people, our capacity to recognize ourselves as being both blessed and unfinished, or both blessed and broken, becomes even more important. Part of being able to give sincere thanks depends upon our ability to recognize the blessings in the midst of other things. In another part of Scripture, Jesus will say, "Those who have eyes to see, let them see." And I think this capacity for a bifocal vision of seeing the blessings and the challenges all at once in our lives is part of what Jesus is talking about when he makes that mystical reference, "Those who have eyes to see, let them see." Experiencing a life of gratitude, or even just a day of thanksgiving, asks us to slow down long enough to see the blessings embedded in our lives and to actually count them, even if or when disappointment or sorrow or our ambition get mixed up in our lives too. When we remember the very first Thanksgiving in Plymouth, it can be tempting to remember that historic day through the lens of nostalgia and optimism, looking back on November 11th, 1620, we can choose to only focus on the recorded blessings of that day. We can conjure that to blow of an abundant table, a feast, where Native Americans and English men and English women sat down together in gratitude and peace. And that is true. But we'd also do well to dig a little deeper into that cultural memory and remember the dangers of their 66 days at sea, the number of pilgrims who got sick or who died that first winter, how cold and how hungry they were that first year, how lucky they were to have Wampanoag tribe members teach them how to plant corn with dead fish heads for fertilizer, or how to fish so they could actually catch something. When we consider the totality of the pilgrims' first year, we can see that even on the very first Thanksgiving, being thankful was a choice. It was a choice. The pilgrims were choosing gratitude for their first year of life in the new world in the midst of real challenges and significant dangers. We might even say that on that first Thanksgiving, the pilgrims were acknowledging that if they were lucky enough to live by the sea, free to worship God and free to practice their religion as they saw fit, they were lucky enough. And we are also lucky enough. In the 21st century, we can be so busy waiting for life to become perfect that we miss those chances to acknowledge the many blessings in our lives already, including the freedom of religion and the life and liberty and pursuit of happiness guaranteed to us by our Constitution, including the fact that in Massachusetts, we too are lucky enough to live near the sea. It's our own material abundance or our ambition or our worry that can blind us to the deep, rich blessings in our lives. And not surprisingly, Jesus has some advice for us. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? So seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. In this passage, Jesus is speaking to us as adults. He and we know that sometimes life can squeeze us. I don't think in this passage that he's saying that we will never be hungry or never be materially challenged in this life. But I think he is definitely saying that we do not need to worry. Jesus is reminding us that God never forgets us, never abandons us, never lets us go. And when we have the eyes to recognize the grace of being alive on this planet, when we take the time to see the blessings already in our lives, we can move from worry to gratitude. Our attitude to this life journey matters enormously. And when we choose to live a life of gratitude, kindness, appreciation, and compassion become regular parts of our experience. When we choose to live a life of gratitude, our lives become infinitely richer. Psalm 100 has already told us all we need to do. Be joyful in the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with a song. Know this, the Lord himself is God. He himself has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, as you've all done today. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and call upon his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his faithfulness endures from age to age. Amen.